Let's please turn your Bibles to Galatians chapter 2, verse 19, as we continue in our study in the book of Galatians. Last week's title was, I withstood him to his face, which is Paul confessing that, you know, even Peter, the great apostle, obviously not the first pope, because Paul had to rebuke Peter, because he is just a man. He was just a man. We can all be just men or just women doing things that are contrary to what we believe and say. Has that ever happened to you? Where you can act in ways different than what you're actually knowing to be true? And so Peter was compromising the gospel when he was in Antioch, Syria, and Paul rebuked him. And then that was last week, Galatians 2:19, just a lead in, 19 through 21 from last week, though, for I, through the law, died to the law that I might live to God. I no longer tried to perform law to be righteous before God. I died to the law. I died thinking that I can do enough do's and not do all the don'ts so I can earn God's favor. I died to that so I could live to God in a relationship through His grace. Verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ. Laying down my own life, my own self-righteousness, I'm crucified with him. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I stopped trying to please through works of the law, circumcision, feasts, all this other stuff. And I just ran to God and said, God, have mercy on me. I need your grace. I need your mercy upon my soul. I'm dead to my old self. I want you to live inside me. I want your Holy Spirit to change me from the inside out. Write your laws in my heart so I do it out of love for you. That's what Paul was saying. Who loved me and gave himself for me, and therefore I get to love you. Verse 21, I do not set aside the grace of God, which is what saved him. How can I set aside something that gave me the cure? I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. And I wanted to, that's where we left off last week, and I want to emphasize, you know, as I've done over the years, a great way to start a conversation with people is, if you were to die today, what would happen? And usually people will say, well, you know, I think I'll go to heaven. And you ask why, and they say, oh, well, because I'm a good person. Well, 90% of the people I talk to, that's what they say. And what I'm going to say in this study is that here's a response to that, different than what I usually do, but I'm going to start doing this too as an option, is to say, well, then why did Jesus die on the cross? Because that's what Paul is saying. If all we have to do is be a good person, then why did Jesus have to die on the cross? And to let them think about that, let them think, well, then why did Jesus have to come and die on the cross? What was that all about? Why did he raise from the grave? Why was he saying he had to go to the grave? And that if you don't believe in me, you'll die in your sins. What did he mean by that? And, well, and then the people, all they would have to say is, well, he died for people worse than me. That's the only comeback. Or they have to sit there and realize, yeah. Because the Bible says, right here, it says, if righteousness comes to the law, then Christ died in vain. You can't, and he goes on to say, you cannot be righteous according to the law. And so everybody goes to hell unless they come to saving faith in Jesus Christ. So when you die, you're going to stand before Almighty God and you're going to be found lacking perfection and you're not good. You'll find out yourself you're not good because he's got the whole record of everything you've done. So everything you think that nobody knows about, God knows about. And that's going to be there in front of all the angels and the hosts of heaven. And they'll be seeing you, and then there'll be a part that says, and you had this opportunity to have your name written in the book of life because you received the grace of God instead of trying to achieve your righteousness by your own works. And then here's where you said no. Here's where you said, get out of my life. I've seen enough of you people I don't want to see anymore. And I don't need Jesus. I don't need your Jesus. I don't need your Bible. And then all that's going to be there. And then you're going to be going to the lake of fire. And there will be no second chance. And that's what Paul is saying, which he gets into chapter 3, verse 1. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified. This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Therefore, know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. So we're going to cover these verses more carefully, but that punchline is there, only by faith. It is only by faith in Jesus Christ. So I so rejoice, and it is so rare to have somebody say, yeah, I'm going to go to heaven. Why? Because I put my total faith in Jesus Christ. I know I'm a sinner, and I confess that to God. And years ago, people told me what it was, that I was lost in my trespasses and sins without faith in Jesus, and I believed in the biblical Jesus, and I'm taking him at his word because he never lies, and when I die, he's going to take me safely into heaven because he's washed away my sins. You know, to hear something like that from Joe on the street that you talk to is almost never hear that. If it isn't because I'm a good person, it's because I go to this church, because I was baptized, because this, because, and all those things are just as, they're all the same as saying, because I'm a good person. It's not trusting in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. So, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? It is foolish to turn away from the gospel that saves, wouldn't you say? So let's say we're in the midst of COVID and some people saying remdesivir is good or hydroxychloroquine or whatever. And let's say hydroxychloroquine was definitely a cure. Definitely keep you from dying. And would you like some? No. Because I was told by, Fauci that it's a terrible drug. Well, everybody knows that this is what saves them, and they tell you it's what saves them, and you're going to walk away from it. Yeah, I'm going to walk, and I'm going to die if I have to, but I'm not going to take hydroxychloroquine, or whatever. It'd be foolish to turn away from something that is a definite cure. And bewitched, this is the only time the Greek word is used here in the Bible for bewitched, and it's to malign or fascinate. You know, kind of like how the serpent sat there with Eve. You know, the picture I have for this is, who has bewitched you? Like the serpent that was there with Eve and just saying, he doesn't really mean it. He doesn't really mean that the day that you eat of it, you will surely die. He just knows that you'll be like him, knowing good and evil. Bewitched them. And it says, should not obey the truth. Can I hear about the truth and not obey it? Of course, people hear about the truth, don't obey it. Can you believe the truth and not obey it? You can even believe the truth and not obey it. I believe that if I jump off of this building, that I'm going to hit the ground, but then I jump off the building. And so people can believe the truth and yet reject obeying the truth. But for saving belief, we hear, we believe, and we act upon the truth. And what is acting upon believing the truth as it pertains to the gospel is that I know I am saved by grace through faith in Jesus. Somebody can say, oh no, but you've got to get circumcised, which is what Paul's issue was with the Galatian church. Nope, I'm obeying the truth. I know what the truth is, and I'm going to obey the truth, and I'm not going to do it. Well, you got to go to church. Connie was telling me she was at she was running into somebody that was one of her students when she was a primary teacher down in Utah, and he wanted to talk to her for about an hour. He hadn't seen her for years, and he was a hardcore Mormon, raising his family in Mormon, and he was having another child, was having it dedicated Mormon style, which only the men come and they do a little kind of a dedication ceremony. But he had had to, because of finances, he had had to take a second job to be able to pay the bills, making sure he could give his 10% to the Mormon church so that he could go to heaven because he's a good person. And so he got the second job and wasn't able to go to church sometimes. And so when the Mormon church that they were attending had this dedication of their child, do they call him the bishop of the church there at the local, you know, the bishop was, said, oh yeah, you know, these guys can come up, but you can't, you know, the father, you can't be here for the dedication. And well, why? Because you don't come to church. You're out, you're not worthy enough. See, Mormonism is salvation by works. Jehovah's Witnessism is salvation by works. Catholicism is salvation by works. And so then he said, oh, really? So he wasn't able to be in crowd for the dedication of his own son or daughter?
Son,
his own son. And so he went home and he told his wife, he goes, that's it. We're never going back again. I'm taking my underwear off, because for a Mormon, if you want to be worthy, you got to have the special Mormon underwear that is blessed by the Mormon church, because you are now shielded by wearing this special underwear. And he goes, I'm done. This is it. And Connie's going to correct me if I'm forgetting any other story that she shared today. And his wife was so upset. You can't do that. We're Mormons. We got to be married in the temple. We got to have celestial children that we can populate a planet when we're, you know, I mean, she's in Mormon mindset. She goes, I'm going to leave you. I need to have a future on a different planet. And so they separated. But they ended up both getting saved. And he is a radical, radical. He's on, you know how the Mormons go on missions? He's a Mormon missionary. But he's a missionary that's converting a bunch of Mormons to salvation by faith through grace in Jesus Christ. And isn't that something? And it all started with him just sitting there, I wasn't in his mind, obviously, but he must have just thought, God's going to judge me because I have to work two jobs so I can pay 10% to the church and all the other bills. And he's going to judge me and say, I can't be worthy up here. There's something wrong with this story. Done. I'm done with this. And isn't it awesome to know that we serve a God that's not like that? We serve a God that knows what we're like. He knows we're sinners and we just want to have a relationship with him. And I don't have to go to him through underwear or go through a church or go through attendance or go through tithing or anything else. I get to go straight to Jesus because of what Jesus Christ did. I think I embarrassed my wife, but I mean, you know, think about it. It's pretty crazy. Did I tell the story right, Connie? So I was listening then, I guess, huh? I'm so glad you stuck around and we got to have that time together this afternoon. I'm going to use that story probably more than once. Next time the Mormons come to my door, I'm going to use that story. Before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified. So Paul is saying, when I was there, I didn't stutter. I wasn't having bad days of preaching. I know what I preached to you is Jesus Christ was crucified on the cross for you. He took your penalty of sin upon himself. That's what I said. So what in the world happened to you? It was clearly portrayed that he was crucified. So in other words, well, then why did Jesus die? Because I'm a sinner, he died. And that's what Paul was saying. I preached that he was crucified because you're sinners and you need him. You need salvation by grace through faith. This only I want to hear from you, verse 2. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing of faith? Did you, when you guys got saved and when miracles were happening in your midst, when I was going through on my first missionary journey and people were getting healed, and you became saved and the power of the Holy Spirit came upon you and you felt the Holy Spirit changing you inside, was it because you did a bunch of good stuff and you didn't do bad stuff and all of a sudden you just kind of felt better about yourself? Or was it because the moment that you said, God, forgive me a sinner, the moment you cried out to God, those who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. When you called upon him to save your soul, isn't that when you sensed the Holy Spirit come in and change your life? How many of you felt that? The day that you prayed and felt that? There are some people that go slow approach and they don't have that radical change. But for me, it was a radical change, and man, did I feel the power of the Holy Spirit come in and all of a sudden change my thinking. And I didn't do it because I started being a better person. It was because I got on my knees and said, God, save me, a sinner. And verse 3, are you so foolish? Three times he's used the word foolish. It's okay. It is foolishness. Paul is emphasizing, you're being foolish. Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? You know, let's go to Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. So, you know, we're not going to get there certainly not tonight. But you got to see what he's talking about being perfect in the flesh is clearly outlined at the end of this argument that he makes. It comes to the punchline in Galatians 5, verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. Do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. You have become estranged from Christ. That means you're no longer in a relationship. You never had the real relationship. If you're thinking, I have to go get circumcised to stay right with God, you have become estranged from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by the law have fallen from grace. Now, it's not really to me a once saved, always saved, or, you know, eternal security kind of thing. Because I look at it like Paul is just saying, You can almost get there and then say, nope, I've got to get a little bit of works of the flesh in here. I got to get circumcised to finish it off to be right with God. And Paul says, oh, no. You don't believe then. So you're not then acting upon what you know to be the truth with belief. You are thinking that doing something of the flesh can make you right with God. Going back to verse 3, are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect in the flesh? And, you know, circumcision was the issue then. Church attendance, people think getting baptized. People think, okay, I believe, but I'm not saved until I get baptized. So, oh, if you die today, where are you going to go? I'm going to go to heaven. Why? Because I've been baptized. They're trusting in that work. They're trusting in that work of the flesh instead of by faith in Jesus Christ. Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Because persecution had come to the church in Galatia, right? In the region of Galatia, those churches had suffered persecution because the unbelieving Jews were beaten up and being antagonistic towards Christians. And so they're all saying, okay, we're Christians. And then they're being persecuted. And then these Judaizers came into town and said, yeah, you know, it's okay to be a believer in Jesus, but you got to get circumcised and do this Jewish stuff. And what Paul is saying is if you then join them, say, okay, I'll be circumcised, then all that persecution for being a Christian was in vain because then you'd die and go to hell. So in other words, can you be martyred for being a Christian and not go to heaven when you die? For being a professing Christian, I should say. Sure. You know, think about all the Catholics that have been persecuted because their Catholics have been around in the Arab world. And many of those, you know, the priests and others have been martyred for being Christians, you know, by quotation mark, Christians. But if you die as a Catholic believing that what saves you is the seven sacraments of the church, then are you truly saved? No, you're just as much believing and trusting in a work of the flesh as circumcision. You're believing that what that priest is going to say to you on your, you know, he's giving you last rites when you're dying, if you have time for last rites, or the fact that you went to confirmation class, or the fact that you think that you're going to have to go to purgatory for some time and you're going to have to work off some of the bad deeds that you did through purgatory. Does Jesus have to die if there's purgatory to work off our sins? No, see, again, Jesus died for all of our sins. So why do we need purgatory if Jesus died for our sins? Why do I need purgatory to refine me for the things that I've done that are wicked if Jesus was willing to give me his grace, unmerited favor, have mercy upon me. So it really is sad that many people that die as professing to be Christians, who don't believe in the Christian gospel that Paul preached, are going to be lost when they stand before God. Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Answer, the hearing of faith. The Holy Spirit miracle in our life that changes us, gives us everlasting life, gives us a relationship with him, was not because I started doing a bunch of dues. It was by faith in Jesus Christ. Just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. This is the most powerful Old Testament verse pertaining to the gospel in the Old Testament, really. I mean, there's a bunch of powerful gospel verses in the Old Testament, but this was used by Paul in both Romans and Galatians. Let's go to Genesis 15. This is so important, and all of Romans chapter 4 deals with this, which, you know, he deals with it much more extensively. But Abraham, you know, Genesis chapter 15, verse 2. But Abraham said, Lord, what will you give me, seeing I go childless? Because God's promised him that he's going to be the father of many nations and stuff. And you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. Then Abram said, look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir, this slave guy, this servant. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this one, this servant of yours, shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. So, I mean, he's almost too old to have children. And it goes another 15 years after that, I think it's 15 years, before he has, ultimately has Isaac at 100 years old. And so he's past the time, really, of he's given up. I can't do this on my own. Then God, brought him, Abram, outside and said, look now towards heaven and count the stars, if you are able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. And he, Abram, believed in the Lord, and he, God, accounted it to him, Abram, for righteousness. Now, this is so important. And what Paul uses in his argument is that what did Abraham do? Did he go off and, okay, let me go get circumcised. Let me do this. Let me do that, God. And then I can be right with you. No, he just simply said, I believe you. I believe you to do the impossible. I believe that even though I'm an old man and I don't even have any children, that I believe if you, God, who created the heavens and the earth, tells me that my descendants are going to be as innumerable as when I look at the night sky, I believe you can do it. And God says, okay, you are now righteous in my sight. You are now saved. You are now in a relationship with me. And see, for the same thing happens to us. I believe, God, that you're going to forgive me of all my sins. As impossible as that might seem, that you, a God, creator of the universe, who knows everything I've ever said or done, is willing to forgive me of my sin because your son Jesus took all of my sins in a mysterious way 2,000 years ago. He took my sins upon himself and died and suffered on my behalf because you so love me. You want to just have a relationship with me and you want to let the old be the old if I'll just come and say, God, change me and forgive me. And as impossible as that seems that you would let me live in heaven with you forever for doing that, I believe you. And you become righteous in God's eyes. And then you get filled with the Spirit. And it's not by works that you do it. It's not by anything but faith in Jesus. And so Paul is alluding to that in Galatians chapter 3, verse 6. So going back there, just as Abram believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham, meaning both Jews and Gentiles. So you could even tell people, what's your lineage go back to? Well, By blood, I go back to Shem, Ham, and Japheth. But by spiritual relationship, I go back to Abraham. Because I become a spiritual descendant of Abraham by having faith in God like he did. I believed God, and I am trusting in him, and God has made me righteous because of that. And he is so awesome. And verse 8, and the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. Now, do you remember when he says that? And actually, that promise that he made to Abraham twice, or three times actually, was passed on to then Isaac, and then passed on to Jacob. So a total of five times God made that promise. In Genesis 12:3, if you want to make notes, Genesis 12:3, when God said to Abram, get out of your country, go to a land that I'm going to show you, and I will, in you, in your descendants, in you, all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed. Then at Sodom and Gomorrah, you know, the Lord with the angels are saying, should I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do in Sodom and Gomorrah, knowing that I am going to, that out of him all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed? And then as he's willing to offer up Isaac in Genesis, that was Genesis 18:18. And then in Genesis 22, he's about to offer up Isaac. And then, you know, God spoke and said, no, don't go through with it. And then there was a ram caught in the thicket, and he didn't have to sacrifice Isaac, who Abraham knew would have to come alive to keep the promises. And so, right then, in you, all the nations will be blessed. And then he passed it to Isaac in chapter 26, verse 4. And he passed it on to Jacob at 28:14 when he's running from his brother Esau and he's at Bethel. And God says, in you, all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed. And what Paul is saying to the Galatians, which is a bunch of Gentiles that are trying to be persuaded by the Judaizers to become Jews, he's saying, God told Abraham in the scriptures, all the nations are going to be blessed because there's going to be a Messiah that comes through the line of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and the 12 sons of Israel, and ultimately through the tribe of Judah, ultimately through the family of David and through the throne of Solomon, that ultimately this is going to be the one that blesses all the nations. Well, it doesn't bless a Gentile in one of the Galatian cities if they have to become a Jew to become a part of Israel to get blessed. So Paul is saying, this is being fulfilled. You don't have to get to God through being a Jew, and therefore only through Israel be blessed. So, verse 9, so then, those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. And that's why many times trying to witness to people, it's so good to say, if they say they're a good person, so have you ever lied? Oh, yeah, but everybody does. Because what Paul is trying to say, the law says, if you want to be righteous, you got to do it all. You've got to be perfectly righteous. And so then you say, no, if you lied, what does that make you? And they choke on it sometimes when they say, they have to say, well, that makes me a liar. And, I don't want to say that. Because then that I'm confirming I'm not a good person. Have you ever lusted? Have you ever stolen? Have you ever this? Have you ever that? See, if you want to, what Paul is saying, if you want to live under the law, if you want to stand before God, I'm a good person, then the whole law, everything about the law, is going to be brought front and center on Judgment Day. And anybody who doesn't do all the law will be cursed. And we'll see those verses next week when we pick it up here to pick up on verse 10 and then continue. We'll be ready to go to several Old Testament passages as we're going to see the parallel. Paul, and I want to emphasize this too. Paul, first of all, when he went on his first missionary journey and went through the churches of Galatia, as we covered in our 2 weeks of background, getting into this book, where did he go? When he first went into the town, where did he go? He went to the synagogue. He went to the synagogue because he knows the gospel comes through the Jewish nation and their history. It's all based on the Old Testament. People have to understand the Old Testament to understand what Paul is saying. And so he was appealing to them, and he's talking to them in this letter as if they know these extensive sections of scripture that are in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, which are the law. They're called the Torah by the Jews. And he even goes to Habakkuk with one of the quotes that he gives. So he was relying on them having an education of the Old Testament. And it makes it difficult for us why Satan has brought taken the Bible and the teaching of the Bible out of our culture. Because then when we come to them, they don't have the foundations that allow them to understand what sin is and what God's relationship, the desire for him to have a relationship is. And so sometimes we have to say, let's just sit down and read the Bible. And let's take a Bible, read, even the Old Testament, read it. And we'll go through and see the God revealed through his word to us and come to saving faith. Father, we thank you for this time. Pray that you would just help us, God, to be missionaries to the lost that are being deceived, bewitched, Lord, into thinking all the thousands of lies the enemy has put into our culture. You know, that there is no God, that there's nobody that we answer to, or all gods are the same, and all the other myriad of lies that have deceived so many people who are headed to the lake of fire. And God, help us to walk in the truth. Help us to not just hear it and to know it, but to truly believe the truth that we're saved by grace through faith. And that not of ourselves. It is a gift from you, and not of works, lest any man should boast in your presence. Because we are your created beings, Lord, and we are not God. And we know that you are God, a loving God who loves us so much you sent Jesus. Help us to walk in love for you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
I'm gonna sing, sing, sing. I'm gonna shout, shout, shout. I'm gonna sing, I'm gonna shout. Praise the Lord. When the gates are open wide, I'm gonna sit at Jesus' side. I'm gonna sing, I'm gonna shout. Praise the Lord. Gonna walk all around that city. Greet the loved ones who've gone on before. Gonna sit on the banks of the river, where we'll meet to part no more. I'm gonna sing, sing, sing. I'm gonna shout, shout, shout. I'm gonna sing, I'm gonna shout. Praise the Lord. When the gates are open wide, I'm gonna sit at Jesus' side. I'm gonna sing, I'm gonna shout. Praise the Lord. Gonna walk all around that city. Greet the loved ones who've gone on before. Gonna sit on the banks of the river, where we'll meet to part no more. I'm gonna sing, sing, sing. I'm gonna shout, shout, shout. I'm gonna sing, I'm gonna shout. Praise the Lord. When the gates are open wide, I'm gonna sit at Jesus' side. I'm gonna sing, I'm gonna shout, praise the Lord. I'm gonna sing, I'm gonna shout, praise the Lord.
And why are you gonna be able to go through those gates?
Jesus.
Faith in Jesus Christ. No other answer. God bless you. Keep you in his care until we can fellowship again. Good night.